52 years ago this spring, I learned how to play golf. I'll do the math for you. I was 12. I'm about to be 64. And unlike a lot of people who first take it up, the first time I swung at the ball, I hit it. And then something terrible happened. I was good at it. Now, why do I say it was terrible? Because I loved this game, but all of a sudden I was thinking more about tournaments and competitions and winning, and eventually it became almost like a job. It only mattered if I won. I only felt good about myself if I won. I no longer remembered how much I loved the game. I'm sorry to say that that same kind of thing happens in religion. We begin by seeking God, and we love God so much, we want to do more and more in our religious lives. And in a way, it is the worst possible thing to be good at religion. It makes it easy to forget why we first came here, to feel loved and to learn to love. There are many times in the Gospels when the religious elite, the religious leaders, are very harshly criticized. And it feels as if this is what has happened to them. They started out loving God deeply, embracing religion as a way of expressing their love for God. But then they got to be good at it. They were admired as religious persons. They began to receive adulation, and somehow religion became more important than God. And then here comes Jesus. He made them nervous, and he made them angry when he condensed all of religion down to love. Love even of lepers and widows and others who were not among the religious elite. They admired Jesus until he advocated loving others above religious practices. The gospel today says that when he speaks of these things, the synagogue was filled with rage. All of a sudden, this guy was no longer playing by the rules. He was saying that the ones who were best at religion understood its essence the least. Paul, in his writing to the Corinthians, detailed this essence of Christianity. He described ideal love. And make no mistake about it, that love that he is talking about, that is patient and kind and bears all things, that is the love of God. Very often, couples who are about to be married choose that reading for their weddings, and it's beautiful. But it is an impossible standard if we think we are going to meet it as human beings without enlisting the help of God. So Paul tells us what ideal love is, what love is as God presents it to us. But then he says, whatever he has, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I do not have love, I am nothing. He is saying that all of the things we do in religion mean nothing if we do not love other people and God. It doesn't matter how good you are at religion if you choose not to try to love. At that point, you have forgotten what drew you here in the first place. There is no point in being good at religion if you have not love. In our mature faith, on our good days, We no longer speak and act like children, but we choose to take on the hard work of loving other people. This sounds so good when we read it, and it is not a fluffy sentiment. It is incredibly hard, a difficult way of life to maintain or to even want to love others as God loves us. Certainly, when I jumped into religion, I was good at it. And I do want people to see me and think of me as a religious person. But when it comes down to it, am I willing to forgive those who hurt me? That is what the essence of this faith is, not religious practice, but to forgive others. Forgiving others is to return to what made me love this life in the first place. We know how God loves us, so we work to love others. We are reminded that we are not here to win, not for religion's sake, but for God's sake. We do not try to live good and moral lives to prompt salvation from God. We try to live good and moral lives to thank God, because God has already saved us. Certainly, we cannot begin to think of salvation as something we have earned, because it is something that God has done. To do otherwise, to think of ourselves as wearing the right badges, is to become the hypocritical, arrogant, religious elite, like the scribes and the Pharisees, like the leaders of the synagogues. At that point, we have moved God to the side and put ourselves and religion at the center. We're very religious. Look how good we are at it. How can we avoid that slipping into putting ourselves at the center? We have to be on guard. And when we see a glimmer of pride in something religious or even virtuous that we have done, we have to remember that what we do to honor God and to love other people. When we catch ourselves focusing all of our energy on church and not on God, we need to sit down alone with God to remember why we came here in the first place, to remind ourselves that we first came here because we loved God and we loved feeling this sense of community with God's people. We didn't come here to win, but to honor God. We can look at ourselves when church becomes more important than God and remember that we are called to bear one another's burdens, not to look good or to underline our own righteousness or to earn something. We bear one another's burdens because we are grateful for what God has done to love us. I frequently remind myself, I love this life, but I also want to return to Jesus continually, to forget about what I might win, to forget about being admired, to forget about emphasizing religion. I want to love the game itself again. If I do not have love, I have nothing. Amen.